Okay, I have a lot more questions, but I would like to ask my colleagues. I would like to give them a chance, too. Who do I leave? Who do I start with this morning? Do you remember, Commissioners? Mrs. Garvey?
I was the last one.
You were the last one? All right. Did I start with?
Start with?
Then I'll start with you, Mr. Caldwell.
Linda, thank you for coming. You're very courageous from the very beginning, everything I know about you. On the bugging, you said that your phones were bugged.
Yes, sir.
Fair game policy.
It's called fair game. It's the same.
When was that?
Since 79, 80, and 81.
79, 80, 81. How did you know that they were bugged?
My husband was a cop.
And he swept the lines?
Mm-hmm.
Was it ever reported?
Yes, it was reported several times. In fact, at one point in time in Boston, we had the telephone man to take the bugs out of the telephone.
Did they ever, did the church ever tell you that any of this was going on when you came in or while you were a member?
Oh, that they were bugging?
Or that the GO was, or anybody was involved in this with the church?
It's that's going to be happy. Oh, okay. I am very aware because I work in the Hubbard Communication Office, and I can't get into total details about it because of my litigation legally self, but I was aware through my office of operations happening. There is a witness here that was in the Guardian's office when they did what's called Operation Shake and Bake against me after I got out, who will be testifying of actual fair game that they actually did. She was still in Scientology at the time that they decided to do fair game, and this is very recent. This is in the last 2 years.
Okay, and during your stay in Scientology and when you first went in, you believed what you had read about Mr. Hubbard?
As being very sincere.
You believed that he was a scientist, a nuclear physicist?
Oh, absolutely. We had a full folio background that he had a degree from, you know, different places, and that the guy was, well, I looked at him as an educated, qualified person. I realized that what we've gotten is falsified information.
Well, was that?
This is quite a few years ago, they've gotten rid of most of this information because since the cases have started, we've researched L. Ron Hubbard's degrees. And we found out it was the Ford University. Oh, in the early years, in the briefing courses? In the early years, we were told that Ron had a degree as a physicist, that he was a scientist. I found out later through doing a lot of research on different universities with the information that we were told that this is not true. That we finally came up with an affidavit, which he had part in, I believe it's called, and I may have to correct this name, it's Sequoia University, that he had a degree that he gave himself, mm-hmm. which he was notoriously known for giving himself his own certifications. But we were briefed on the fact, during those days we were giving, in every single front of the old books, the old Scientology books, you will find backgrounds on LRH of all these wonderful things that he did. If you notice your new books that are coming out, it's no longer being printed because we became aware by doing our research that he did not have these degrees that he professed to have. And those are being eliminated out of the front covers of the books now. They're changing that whole process, and we can put that in evidence if you want to see it. We have the old books here that show that he was supposed to have all these master degrees.
Does Mr. Caldwell, I'd like to, does that book have the
certification? Yeah, this book was bought 5-6-82, and for the record, it's Exhibit 28, all about radiation, where it still has his background bibliography proclaiming his degrees and his education is a major selling point of the book.
The witness is getting into some legal conclusions, which would probably be better not to get into, but in any event,
as when we tie all the evidence together at the end, with regard to the comparisons between the old biographies and the new biographies and the representations that are still made and the representations as they have been changed, I believe the evidence will show that the inference of deception that can be drawn from the fact of some of the changes and some changes that have not been made, such as holding himself out as the nuclear physicist on the cover of the new book, will indicate to this commission that the Church of Scientology has entered into a process whereby they have attempted to alter the language to some degree to cover the basic facts, but the inferences that people like Lavenda Van Schaik and anyone coming to Scientology, anyone coming to Clearwater receive, is that he still has all those degrees, although some of the language has been changed. And when we begin at the end of these hearings to draw legal conclusions from the evidence, we will point those factors out to the commission.
Lavenda, I guess to sum up Mr. Hubbard's background, was his background a major point or a major encouragement, representation for you to spend money on courses?
Absolutely.
Did, in your mind, it give credence to the theories and the things that you were going to pay money for?
Absolutely.
Would you have spent that money if you had known that it was written in 3 months without research, as was testified earlier?
No, I would not.
Okay, you talked about the auditing process and how it was used. Were you told it was under confidence?
Absolutely. I found out that it was blackmail.
Strictest confidence is how it was sold to you, and it was
absolutely
sold to you as that.
And it is absolutely blackmail.
And you said about disconnect, breaking up your family. Were any of these confidential facts used in that process?
Yes, they were.
Were there any scientific guarantees given to you about auditing as to what it could cure? Was it sold to you as helping any of your problems?
Yes, and also medical at that time.
Can you give me a specific medical problem?
Headaches.
Headaches? Did it cure your headaches?
No, it gave me more headaches.
When you were in auditing, did the auditor ever tell you that it could not cure? Specifically tell you that it could not cure any medical illnesses?
In 1979, when my auditor found out that I was leaving Scientology, she made me aware that it did not cure any kind of medical representation.
But while you were spending money before in the previous year?
After I ran out of money.
After you ran out of money. Okay. The waivers, did you understand them when you signed them?
No.
Did they make them out to you to be very legal documents?
Yes.
That would be upheld in a court of law if you left?
No. Not in that sense. Legal documents as to, basically, for me to go into the SEAL organization, I had to sign a waiver. It was a conditional right to join staff in Las Vegas at that time. Oh, yeah, this is really cute. I signed a billion-year contract and another contract, and they're suing me for contract deception.
They're now trying to...
Yeah, I wonder what their approach would be if I offered to go back on staff.
So you are now being threatened?
I'm being sued for breach of contract that I signed.
Okay, you said that living conditions in the Fort Harrison while you were there in 77 had a hepatitis epidemic?
Absolutely.
How did you know it was hepatitis?
Well, one, because of the inoculations that they were getting.
Who gave the inoculations?
Medical officers are downstairs.
Did you see any degrees on the wall?
No.
Did you see any certificates?
No, absolutely she has none whatsoever. She was not a nurse.
What was her name?
I want to say Mary Jane. It was Mary Ann something.
Mary Ann something? Okay, and you also said there was an attempt to cover up this epidemic from health officials in the city?
Absolutely.
How do you know that?
It's a combination of things. Our ED came back from Las Vegas with hepatitis, and she was put in an area where, she didn't stay as ED. She was kind of confined over to another area, and at that time, she had lost an extreme amount of weight. And I wasn't really aware of what the problem was until I got to Clearwater, and I have seen hepatitis before.
Okay, you have firsthand
knowledge of something. I know what hepatitis looks like. I have seen people go through that condition of extreme contagious hepatitis. and there were 15 people downstairs in the medical room at that time, and they were separating those people where they put me in. They wanted to make sure that I was a public person, that I didn't get any kind of contact with them at all. So they were putting me in a separate room, and these people were like quarantined, and they were stacked up against the walls. They were just incoherent, not there, very ill.
And how was that a cover-up?
Because I had ended up in an epic situation talking to Ron Anderson at that time, the medical officer at that time, I had gotten I don't know if it was food or the water. The water was very poor. I had gotten an infection in my mouth at that time, and the water that apparently was coming through my room was not really clean. And the medical officer gave me alcohol, and she told me to rinse my mouth out with alcohol and then swallow it. And I can imagine what the effects would have had. Luckily, I happened to take a whiff of this stuff before that occurred, and that's when I got into the discussion of what was happening with Ron, with the particular people down there. Of course, it's not discussed. And then I heard rumor with other staff talking about they couldn't talk about it. And I found out later from someone that's involved in my litigation legally that that's exactly what was occurring. It was my own guess.
Medical officer then prescribed the treatment that you knew was harmful to you, swallowing alcohol, denatured alcohol. The children that you talked about.
Yes. I want to answer that, yes, that is true.
The children, you were supervised by a minor, a 13-year-old or 12-year-old?
13 and 14-year-old.
And they had many children that they were taking care of?
It was 15 at that time.
15, was this
or
their,
more.
Was this their job?
This was their job.
And they had, how long were they there supervising approximately these minors?
Well, the kids were not allowed in any public areas. One, because they were very dirty. And it was bad public relations as far as people that were coming in and taking courses. And this was one of the real upsets because you got a mother that would come in and say, oh, well, where's the nursery at? And, you know, she proceeded back into the nursery to find out how the Seward children were doing. And then it was a constant problem because being a mother, they, you know, living a normal life, just coming in as a public person and seeing the conditions of the children, always was a continual upset on Flag.
Would you characterize living quarters as sanitary or unsanitary?
Very unsanitary. There was gooey diapers on the floor. The babies had rashes from not being cleaned and changed on a regular basis. Runny noses. Most of them had the flu. They were really sick.
And would you say these children were supervised by someone well-trained in the area or by the minors?
Well, I have to answer that honestly. I think that there was one 14-year-old that was very capable of handling children. She had too many to handle, unfortunately.
Okay. You never saw a child go to school, though, a public school?
No, never.
Why is that?
Because school is society.
How would you refer to that as a church? Did the church say that directly, that the school is not good for their children?
When my daughter was younger in Las Vegas, the only reason that she was sent to public school was because the public school system in Las Vegas drew a fit about the children in the Las Vegas area. And the guardian's office, because they didn't want to think at that time, said that we had to put our children in school, or my daughter would have never attended school.
To you, would it be a policy of the church to prevent children from going to public school?
Other than Apple schools or schools that have to do with Scientology.
Okay. You mentioned Quentin Hubbard's death.
Mm-hmm.
You said there were some questionable surroundings about that. Do any of those surroundings pertain to Clearwater at all?
He left Clearwater. He died in Las Vegas.
And your brother-in-law, you mentioned the R-245 process and that your brother-in-law was found shot to death.
He was found dead in his room with a .45, with a gunshot.
With a gunshot wound to his head.
Would you like this?
Thank you. The result of David's death has never been ruined. David was doing some different things for the operation of the Guardian's office in Las Vegas. And at the time the police found him, he was found in the room with a .45 and a suicide note. He'd written a letter to my parents. He was married to my sister. And the last letter he'd written was how wonderful Scientology was. And he was doing a little mission. And anyway, the result of David's death put my sister under psychiatric care. And things have been basically the same since then. I don't think it will probably be the first or the last incident that will be uncovered through the next few years. And if people really kind of wise up and look at what's going on, I think the only question that could really be answered on Quentin or David's death would be Artie Marin, and it would be really nice if Artie appeared to these hearings.
Thank you. Mr. Burfield, do you have any questions? If you're finished, Mr. Curl, Mr. Goldberg.
Yes.
Mr. Burfield.
Yes, ma'am. I have a couple questions here. You said you had a suit that was pending against a Scientologist. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did you sue them first, or did they sue you first?
Who attacked you first? They attacked me first.
By attacking, I mean filing.
Who sued first? I sued first, legally.
We, one of our local newspapers, this morning's newspaper, has been kind of led to believe that maybe we had not been grilling you people thoroughly enough to establish the authenticity of your statements.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we had, personally. I think that our interest is so deep in Clearwater. But I must ask this question even under the extreme emotional conditions. Did you come because you want to be vindictive towards a Scientologist, or what is your purpose in being here?
No, absolutely not. I care about the people that are down there at the Fort Harrison. I would really like to see them straighten up their act. I would like to see kids get an education, which I feel that they deserve. I would like to see the dirty tricks stop. And I genuinely would like for the people that are in the Fort Harrison to realize that the people that are involved in my case or their own personal cases genuinely care about what's happening with those people, and basically just trying to let them know that there are other things that are going on, that a lot of times they won't find out about unless a hearing like this actually happens. And because you have so many different Scientologists in so many different areas, that one may not be aware of what's happening in Los Angeles or in other areas. My intention was never to be vindictive against Clearwater. My intention was just to actually expose the truth. And if they can handle the truth, fine.
Now, you earlier had made some statements about misrepresentation. Mr. Colibank has gone over pretty well. But when you use the word misrepresentation, what does that mean to you?
They represent themselves as a religious organization.
Exclude the religion.
As far as auditing processes?
Yes, ma'am.
Auditing processes are supposed to be confidential. They are not. You go in with the attitude that you are getting an enlightenment and that your personal life will be private. That is not true. Your personal life, once you leave, is a totally an exposure to press, an exposure to other family members, an exposure to your husband, an exposure to anyone that wants to see it.
Now, I realize I'm asking an opinion of a layperson, but in your opinion, the living conditions at Fort Harrison, is there a health problem there?
There was a health problem when I was there. Whether there are, is not, I have not been into the Fort Harrison in over 3 years now.
And if I also understand you, well, let's strike that. These technologies, fair game, the blowing student, what have you, the last time you had contact with the Scientologists, were those still in effect?
Absolutely. It never changed from day one.
One of the biggest questions I've been asked by people is, you appear to be well above average and adjusted to this, what would cause a person to go into Scientology?
I think all people kind of have an inner nature of genuinely caring about other people. I think people that get in the organization usually are people that should go into service or VISTA or Red Cross, or they generally, they're people that I consider that have what's called a help instinct.
Okay.
Mr. Birkfield, I understood that question to mean call for her opinion as to what she thinks the inner reasons are, and not to be a question of the type what representations were made to her at the outset that induced her to go in. Rather, her inner feeling that she experienced is one of the motivating factors.
That was a general question, and the next one is going to be more specific as to what motivated you to go into it.
What representations?
Representations of L. Ron Hubbard's background and what the group stood for.
And you stayed in roughly 9 years, is that correct?
That's correct.
Somewhere along the line, did you come to the conclusion that these representations were not correct or true? Or?
That's why I'm out.
Did this happen at the very end, or did you have doubts along the line, or what?
I don't understand the question.
And well,
you mean did I doubt it on and off down the line as I was in? Yes. I didn't have the mental stability at that time to get out. I couldn't get out.
You mean you couldn't get out?
I was so indoctrinated with the whole group that I mentally couldn't bring myself to getting out. I couldn't get out.
Could I interpret that that you're saying that they had control of your mind to the point?
Absolutely.
The courses that you last, you audited courses here in Clearwater, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Those courses that you last audited here or took here in Clearwater, how could you define those in layman's terms? Were they true courses, or were they misrepresented, or what?
Well, it's interesting because the courses I took here were what's called the Hubbard Communication Ethics Officer. And basically what that is to establish ethics in the community and to have the organization run on a very ethical process. And I realized that after I finished the whole course that that's not what was being represented in Clearwater. I took a course that was totally false.
Do you know the meaning of the word Dianetics?
Yeah, Dianetics is through the mind. That's exactly what it is. It's through the mind. Through the mind, you get caught.
It's a little off the subject, but it goes along the line. I noticed in the same morning's paper that I was reading that the city of Austin, Texas, was requesting they declare a day of Dianetics. Do you think Clearwater ought to declare a day of Dianetics?
Almost every other city has.
Why?
Well, it's public relations. It's a great way to get the public interested in to what they consider very good public relations, and to get city and government officials thinking that they are very, you know, we're just the nice guy. It's what's called the big scam of promoting to agencies, especially politics and press, that they are the nice guys when they are not the nice guys.
I have just two other questions here I'd like to ask you. You've heard some of the testimony that has been given here, is that correct?
Absolutely.
In your mind, as a layman, do you feel that we have been fair in attempting to protect the truth about Scientology?
Yes, I'd like to hear the other side. I hope the other side comes and appears. I really do. I don't want this as a one-sided session. I hope that they do show up and they do appear. But I want them. It's too bad that they couldn't let the staff of the Fort Harrison sit in on these proceedings. Of course, the staff is told not to read newspapers or communicate with anyone that has left Scientology. And I would have really have liked the whole staff to attend this, because I consider it a committee of evidence, and I'm sure that staff would understand that totally.
One last question, and I ask this of everyone. You answered the mayor's question as to why Scientology moved here. But if you could tell the people of Clearwater just one thing or a short statement as to what they should be looking at, what would you say to us?
Just be careful of the nice guy that's smiling on the outside, extending his hand with good public relations, because you'll find out in the long run when your own personal life is exposed some way to that individual, and they have ways of finding out those things, that you will find out that it will be used against you.
And you use the word nice guy. Could you be just a little more specific there?
I'm talking about people that are currently in the guardian's office at the Fort Harrison. They're creating an image of that they are going to be nice guys now. It's interesting that a religion has been not a nice guy for a long time.
We don't want to talk about religion.
All right, well, whatever. An organization has not been a... They have not represented what they really are. I am glad that the hearing is here, because there are people that are out of Scientology that are trying to represent to press and to people exactly what they are. And it's like the only reason the witnesses are here at this time, we were in for a long time, we know how things are covered up, we know exactly what is going on, and no matter how nice they say that they are being as an organization, I believe it for about 2 days. And that's my extent of it. And it is just a nice front that changes, and it will go back to exactly what it has always been, no matter what kind of public relations that they put out to press or put out to anyone else. I have not seen that dramatic of a change in the organization, and I don't personally believe them. And anyone else that does, that's entirely up to them.
Just as an aside, before you go to Mrs. Garvey, you were hoping the Scientologists would participate or watch these. The Scientologists are taping this entire 4 days, and I hope that they will show it to their people within the organization at an opportune time and gather them in the big great hall up there in Fort Harrison.
I doubt that staff will ever see this film.
Well, they...
Other than in the guardian's office. And that's really unfortunate. Other than in them splicing something. I doubt that staff will see this film.
They are here and taping it verbatim, and it's in total.